This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. 9 people killed, 30 hospitalized following a fire at an assisted living facility in Fall River, Massachusetts, south of Boston. Some people who couldn't leave on their own had to be carried out of the building by first responders on ladders, and now they have nowhere to live, says Fire Chief Jeffrey Bacon.
They're at a shelter in the city that they opened up for the victims, and we'll be working with them throughout the day to make sure that they have a place to stay.
No word yet on what caused the fire. A man in Lexington, Kentucky, shot and killed 2 women at a church and injured a state trooper and another person before being shot and killed by police himself. ABC's Aaron Katursky's there.
According to police, we're told the suspect had a history of mental health problems, had anger issues and drug use, and he had access to a gun that he used to shoot 4 people here at this church.
It's believed the man had connections to those who were shot. More rain in central Texas hampering the efforts of officials in places like Kerrville, hit so hard in recent flash flooding. This is ABC News.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Tuition will rise for students in the universities of Wisconsin system. Savannah Tomei Olson has the details.
The system is dealing with cuts from the National Institutes of Health, the biggest public funder of research in the world, plus cuts from the Trump administration and a small increase in the state budget. But as UW-Madison Chancellor Jennifer Mnookin says, the budget also includes hiring limits.
This legislation poses quite significant challenge for us. We would become a potential poaching ground quickly, and we would be unable to recruit in some of the very high needs areas that we all view as a priority.
UW System President Jay Rothman says UW is still the most affordable public university system in the Midwest. Even then, Wisconsin ranks 44th in the nation for state higher education funding.
This was a difficult recommendation for me to make as well, because we're trying to balance understanding that the state supports 1/5 of our budget, about 20%. There was a time that it supported close to 44% of our budget. And as that funding has gone down for reasons that, you know, notwithstanding the increase that we get this time, that's simply the fact. And tuition has become a bigger portion of our revenue.
This is the 3rd year in a row that students within the UW system will see a tuition increase. It'll begin in the fall. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
The University of Northern Iowa is offering in-state tuition to Wisconsin students as it tries to attract more students. UNI President Mark Nook estimates up to 300 out-of-state graduates would take a job in Iowa each year. UNI's Cedar Falls campus is about 150 miles from the Wisconsin border. The in-state tuition rates also apply to residents of Minnesota and Illinois. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
The Brewers sweep the Nationals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat Washington 8-1 to complete a 3-game sweep heading into the All-Star break. But manager Pat Murphy said they weren't playing their best ball.
We weren't on all cylinders by any stretch in the last 3 games, but we had big innings and we did what we had to do. And, you know, there were some unique performances, but it's Major League Baseball. Anytime you can win 3 games, you're lucky in a series. So it wasn't like we walked away with anything.
Right fielder Sal Frelick undergoing an MRI after making a sliding catch in foul territory, suffering a hamstring injury. Last night in the MLB draft, the Brewers selecting 5 new players, 2 infielders, 3 pitchers. The draft continues today. NBA, the Bucks introducing Miles Turner as their new center, picked up in free agency from the Pacers. Turner asked if he's heard from Giannis yet.
Yeah, we texted back just a little bit, you know, but he was on vacation and I was on vacation, so, you know, I know how that goes.
That's the Bucks' Miles Turner with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Bright and hazy today with mostly sunny skies and wildfire smoke and winds barely moving. High temperatures today will strike the upper 80s. But with the increased humidity, it's going to be feeling more like the low 90s. Stay cool and keep hydrated. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
Thank you. The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Maggie Dawn.
Matt Rothschild is in the guest host seat with me on Monday. We keep you up to date. Who's out and who's in? Is it Bongino and Patel or Bondi at the DOJ?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are hitting the road.
Yes.
After our shows tomorrow, Matt Nair on Air and the Todd Alva Show going on the road, hitting parts of Wisconsin. We'd love to do it. We have a big state.
It's a huge state.
It is a big state.
So so much of it I haven't seen.
I know. Well, you're going to get to see some new areas.
Nice.
This Wednesday, we are going to be in Oshkosh broadcasting from the EAA Museum. I hope you can join us for that. Should be a lot of fun. If you're in the Oshkosh area, we would love to meet you. So come on out and say hello. Again, our show will be broadcasting from 9 to 11, mm-hmm. and then Todd from 2 to 4. And then when Todd is done with his show, we pack up.
Yep.
And we head to the next destination.
Yeah.
So Wednesday, we are in Oshkosh. On Thursday, we're going to be in Butternuts.
Yay!
Broadcasting from Fanatical Fish Art Gallery. Thank you to Darla, who helped set this up.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
In Butternut. We're really looking forward to that. And we just had a great text come in from Mike in Green Bay, listening on WGBW. Butternuts has the world's largest pine cone.
I have a lot of questions.
Standing over 107 feet tall, with a gift shop on the ground floor and a rotating restaurant and pub on the top. Oh, Mike.
So.
Maybe it's a recreation of a pine cone.
I was going to say, yeah, because.
That sounds more.
I was going to say, it sounds like you're just describing a tree then. But this whole thing about a pub on top makes me a little nervous. That's about 10 floors up.
We are absolutely looking for that.
Got to investigate the pine cone.
You betcha. Mike, thank you for that heads up about the world's largest pine cone.
Yeah. Yeah.
See if we can. I would imagine it must be pretty easy to spot in Butternut. I don't know. Maybe there's a lot of skyscrapers there that we're not aware of.
There's the world's second largest pine cone right next to it. It's just right. Various things.
Very tall pine cones everywhere.
Big squirrels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we will be in Butternut on Thursday, and then Friday. We are in Hayward, and we're going to be broadcasting from The Lot.
Yeah.
In downtown Hayward. It's right across from our studio there, WBZH in Hayward. It's a really pretty park.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have the tent and the whole schmear and all that stuff. But so you can come with the whole schmear, and maybe you can come by and have a scone of peace.
That's a reference.
I know.
That's
we haven't talked about scones of peace for a long time.
Remember that, Jane? You would go to the farmer's market.
When we were still in Waukesha,
mm-hmm.
and I would work the farmer's market for the station on Saturdays.
Yeah. Yep.
And we had some callers who tended to want to go on and on and on and on.
Yes.
In making points when we had them on the air.
Yeah.
And because it is radio and we have time constraints,
mm-hmm.
I said, if you would like to be able to have a long conversation with me, I'm here at the farmer's market for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Stop by the Civic Media tent and I'll buy you a cup of coffee and we can share a scone of peace. Mm-hmm. Because there was a wonderful bakery there that sold maple bacon scones that will change the course of your life. They were fantastic.
I know. I ate all the leftovers.
I used to buy 10 of them.
Yeah.
Hoping, because I was very sincere about that. Sit down with me and let's have a longer discussion.
And
nobody ever took me up on it.
And I don't mean to degrade the scones of peace. No, they're great. I had them. I ate, doctors would say too many of them. But that's to me, a real commentary on it. I mean, I'll take you behind the scenes even a little bit more. We get text messages from people who do not like us, mm-hmm. They don't like us. Yeah. They don't like what we say. They don't agree with what we're trying to discuss here. And that's fine. No problem. And they will tell us. Sometimes they'll be very to the point of what we're discussing. Sometimes they'll just call me a buffoon. But either way, I try to respond, depending on what you say to us, with, hey, provide context to what you're saying. How are we wrong? What are we quote unquote lying about? Send me an article. Send me something
right.
That gives back up your
argument.
Tell me that you did the work. Show your work. Do the research. That kind of thing. All that stuff. And it never comes back. And that, I think that for me, Jane, is so disappointing because, look, I know I'm not right about everything. And I know that my opinion isn't the same opinion as everyone. But at the very least, if you're going to try to call us out on something, I want information that will prove your point or at least give me pause and say, oh, let me look into that.
Right. I was not aware of that. Yeah. Thank you for giving me some. Yeah. But again, I've maintained this from the very beginning when I was producing for Kristen. Yeah. When I first started here at Civic Media, if all you have are insults and profanities, then you have no argument.
Absolutely.
And I'm not going to waste my time engaging with you because it is a waste of time.
Mm-hmm. There is one. I'm not going to mention names, but there is a listener who did send me some information about a week or two ago regarding vouchers, and there was a lot of information there. It was a lot of websites, a lot of just information backing up their points. I am still going through it.
Great.
So to the person who sent that to me, I didn't forget about you. I didn't ignore you. It's just there was a lot there, and I talk on the radio for a living. I am not a deep researcher, so I have to work a little harder, but I want to take that information.
That's
in
great.
So make sure that we are saying the right things when we are talking about our points, we are using correct details and correct
and accurate
data.
Information.
Exactly.
Accurate information.
Yes.
And this is also why we say frequently, we are not experts.
No.
That's why we speak to actual lawyers mm-hmm. and actual doctors and actual farmers mm-hmm. and economists and people who deal with business and transport and tariffs.
Yes.
So we are expert adjacent. That's why we bring experts on.
And we trust their expertise, you know,
yes.
And I think that's, you know, in today's day and age, if you say, oh, this person has got two PhDs in this topic that we're talking about, what do you think? And if they say something that a person disagrees with, they automatically go, well, that's you're lying, you're fake news, you're AI, you're all these things. Even in the face of expertise, people still will say, well, you're wrong.
Yeah.
I think that's wild. I think that's crazy pants to me that you're going to look at someone who is a true, true like spokesperson for their field and say, you're wrong.
Because I've done my own research.
Yeah, because that guy on TikTok said the thing I agree with, and I like him more. And he has, Jane, millions of followers.
Yeah, that has taken the place of expertise, though. It
yes.
has.
Yep.
The follower count you have. Is now somehow legitimizes your opinions.
Yeah. Sue from Franklin is texted in saying, so true. I post stuff on Facebook like Heather Cox Richardson's letters.
She's so brilliant.
She's
by
so
the way.
Wonderful. And she's been on Maggie's show a few times.
Yep.
I ask those that disagree to explain their position and, of course, crickets. And
they come back with insults and profanities.
And that happened to me as well. That when the horrible, tragic shootings in Minnesota took place, I just posted it with just sort of like, here's what happened. This is awful. And I was immediately being told Well, that guy was a super leftist. He was upset that Minnesota lawmakers voted to take away healthcare availability to illegal immigrants or undocumented folks. And I was like, I don't think that's true. And then they sent me these screenshots of portions that didn't even agree with what they were saying or prove. It just were sentences. So finally, I waited, I think, a day. And then AP, The Post,
Reuters,
Times,
probably.
Reuters, yeah. Posted articles about this gentleman who is being accused of these actions. And I just said, here you go. Nothing since. No response since. Just, as Sue put it, crickets.
Yeah.
So I think that for me, that's a bummer because I want to have those discussions. I want to have those conversations. And when they push their narrative at you and then you're like, well, what about this thing? They're like, sign off.
Right. Well, right. It's an argument they either weren't anticipating and they just didn't even think about that. Right. It's like, oh, I didn't think you'd have a comeback for that.
No,
I wasn't expecting a comeback.
Yeah.
Mm,
yeah.
That makes that uncomfortable. If you want to have longer discussions, please come out and see us while we're on the road. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Again, our show ends at 11. Todd's show doesn't start until 2. We got all kinds of time. I'll find scones in Oshkosh. We'll have Oshkosh scones apiece or butternut scones apiece. Hayward scones apiece. Carmela from Milwaukee. Jane shared the scones apiece with me and my husband at the Waukesha Farmers Market, but there was no opposition between us, so we called it a scone of love.
Aww. That's very, very cute.
That
we hope you're
nice.
Doing well, Carmela. It's been, ever since we moved out of Waukesha, we haven't seen some of these individuals.
Right.
We wish you nothing but the best. Mike from Green Bay getting back to us about butternut. Butternut also has the forest that time forgot. It is about 25 acres of pristine northern forest that has free-roaming animatronic giant sloths. Are you sure they're animatronic? Sloths are pretty slow. Velociraptors and pterodactyls. Definitely a good hike.
Ooh.
Might have to pack some...
some walking shoes.
Some boots.
Some hiking shoes.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, Troy sent us in a list of ice cream places.
Thank you, Troy. You are the best.
A great ice cream trail that we're going to be following as well.
But in all of this conversation, we still encourage people to reach out to us. If you disagree with us, if you have a problem with what we're saying, please text us, email us, voice note us, whatever it is, call us. But always, we just want you to bring something to the conversation. And if we're wrong, tell us what we've said that is incorrect. Show us the proof, and we'll go from there.
Well, give us an opportunity. We like to learn.
Yeah. But don't make fun of my haircut or call me fat. I mean,
well,
that's just weird.
Again, telling me I'm old and unattractive that, tell me something I don't know.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Don't you want to lose some weight? Actually, I would like to. It'd be nice. I'd go for a walk.
Oh, my God. You don't want to sleep with me? I'm sure. Jean from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Jean. Thank you so much for joining us.
Sure, you make me laugh before I started talking.
Good, 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 good.
Anyway, hey, I think you two are really beautiful, and I agree with everything you say. And I am very thankful that you're getting the facts out to the people because they've been brainwashed for so long by right-wing radio nonstop, all day, same subject, same verbiage. So keep up the great work, guys, because there's a lot of us out there that appreciate you. And gal darn it, we love you. And you have a good trip when you're going around the state. Bye.
Thank you so much, Gene.
Bye, Gene. Thank you very much. We love hearing from you.
We need Gene just to call us once a day for an ego fluff. She's the best. She really is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really appreciate
that,
really,
Gene. Appreciate. And for all the people who call and text, we just really, really, and, you know, we love hearing from you.
It makes it all worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
It really, really does.
Yes, it does.
Coming up after 10:30 is the segment that we typically call Audio Sorbet.
What?
Where we like to lighten things up, get away from the news, and take a little collective breath so we can all retain our sanity. Superman is open. The latest Superman 427 is out in the theaters now. And I know you guys saw it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very much looking forward to your recap of the new Superman. And then we're going to talk about really popular movies that everybody has seen except you.
Yeah.
That's Audio Sore Baby, thinking about it now. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. 5 years after the fake elector scheme to overturn the 2020 election, legal accountability is grinding along for some of the conspirators and those who wittingly or unwittingly supported them. But pardons may be in the wind, too. May 27th, a three-judge New York appellate court stripped Trump campaign attorney Kenneth Chesbrough, an alleged key organizer of the swing state fake elector scheme, of his license to practice law in New York. June 16th, the alleged mastermind of the fake elector scheme, John Eastman, was recommended for disbarment in California. He can still appeal the decision. Also June 16th, a civil jury found MyPillow CEO and election denier Mike Lindell liable for $2.3 million for defaming former Dominion Voting Systems executive Eric Coomer. Dominion itself has a claim pending against Lindell, right-leaning news outlets, and several other Trump-alleged conspirators and collaborators. The Michigan Advance reported July 5th that a hearing on whether the trial of 15 of 16 Michigan fake electors should go forward has been moved to September 9th. A trial in Arizona is scheduled for January 5th, 2026, for the alleged fake electors and Trump associates, including his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. Mother Jones reported June 4th that President Donald Trump's pardon attorney was considering pardons for the accused fake electors. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the very end of the show, we'll wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Fossil Envy Edition. Yes, we are green with envy over a state picking a better fossil than ours.
It'll make sense when we explain it because it's a long-standing envy that will never, ever well, be quenched.
Apparently not. Tisbat coming up at 10:51. Stick around for that. I did want to talk about this. This came out a couple of weeks ago, but it still makes me laugh. From the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Sophie Teige, with the article, The Saga of Milwaukee's Official Flag.
Oh, God.
Could be entering its final chapter. This has been the longest, most drawn-out thing of little to no consequence in recent history, right?
It is such... to tell the whole story would take way too much time. I think it's embarrassing.
That they can't get it done?
Well, not even that. The fact that this even happened in the first place. Because it was so mishandled from the beginning. And
mishandled because they didn't get enough opinions? Or was it mishandled?
They didn't get enough opinions.
Okay.
And there was no real movement to actually change it. They were like, we're going to try to get some new flag designs. And like, well, are we changing the flag? This was not a well thought out plan from the jump. The fact that this is still happening, and I'm sorry, I don't like the quote unquote people's flag.
You don't like the sunrise over the lake?
I like the design, but I don't like everything behind it because I think it really just shows a sense of I don't know. Like, it, the amount of people they asked to vote for this was a very, very small percentage. It wasn't even, I think, 1% of the population. Or it was, I think it was 1% plus of the population of Milwaukee voted on this. And the people who fly the flag, to me, it just feels like it's a thing. Like, this is our flag. Well, no, it's not. You didn't. This is not a flag of the people. It's not even the people's flag. It's your flag. You chose it. And now you think you're... Now the city is awash in this image. Like... Anyone who's ever has some form of this flag, some variation on that theme. And I think it just speaks deeply to what Milwaukee's trying to make themselves into eventually. Being cool and hip.
Well, who doesn't want to be cool and hip?
But then you invite all the people. You make the process inclusive.
Well, it's inclusive now. There's like 400 people on this board. Okay, I might... slightly be overstating that, but this has been going on since 2001.
Oh, wow.
The Common Council wanted to amend the city's original flag design. Nothing happened until 2016. The people's flag was entered in a design contest and ultimately won, but it was not made official. Mm-hmm. In 2018, the Common Council and the Milwaukee Arts Board worked together to come up with a new flag. But it was determined it was not inclusive enough. So, again, we're still working on it. People's flag. The task force now will include 3 members appointed by the mayor.
Can I stop you right there? The task force?
The task force. The flag task force will include 3 members appointed by the mayor, 3 appointed by the Common Council president, 3 appointed by the chair of the Milwaukee Arts Board. Okay. The people's flag design should be resubmitted, but they also want new proposals. After narrowing down 10 finalist flags, the Common Council says it will vote on recommendations by December 31st of this year. Hmm. So let's see how long this takes.
Is there anything in that story about just putting it to the entirety of the people saying like, hey, the people of Milwaukee, come vote? Or is this the task force is going to, like, I know there's going to be discussions and whatnot, but really when it comes down to the flag and the flag design, I feel like the people of Milwaukee, one, should have a voice because if it's the people's flag.
Right.
But also just need more time. Like, we're talking about July, which means it'll probably get started in August, maybe.
It better get going.
That's August, September, October, November, 4 months. I don't know. To me, for one thing, this doesn't need to happen. This is a committee or a commission or a task force.
I know.
Is this crime? Is this like, we need to get this done now?
To fix concerns about the inclusivity in the process of selecting a flag, the task force would allow submissions to be made both online and in person.
I'm just putting it out right now to John Oliver, because when it comes to flags, you love this sort of thing. And if you could help either shut it all down or make it the funniest thing ever, please do so. I just feel like this is not...
Can send that into Last Week Tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. I just don't feel like... And I haven't lived in Milwaukee for a few years, but I know that in my time there, one of the things that really concerned me was never the flag.
Yeah, I don't hear that coming up in a lot of, you know, our neighborhood discussions about what's the number one concern facing residents of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Flag rarely comes up.
No.
Rarely.
No. No, not at all.
Maybe it'll come up more now.
Housing. That's something we could talk about.
But there's a task force, you guys.
Oh, my gosh.
They're on it.
That's on someone's resume now.
We're on it. We have news coming up next. And when we return, a little audio sorbet. We're talking movies. I hope you can stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Vernon County and Dane County Sheriff's Departments have provided an update to the July 8th incident and subsequent death investigation. Late Tuesday afternoon at approximately 4 o'clock, the Vernon County Sheriff's Office 911 Communications Center received a report that the suspect in a double homicide that occurred in Dane County was traveling west on U.S. Highway 14, approaching Vernon County. A Wisconsin State Patrol trooper was following the suspect and requested assistance. Multiple responding officers from the Sheriff's Office and the Viroqua Police Department and multiple law enforcement communications professionals worked with the State Patrol in a coordinated response. Once officers were positioned south of Viroqua to prevent entry into the populated area, a traffic stop was initiated and the operator immediately complied by pulling onto the westbound shoulder near Offerdahl Road. Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson says the team performed how they are trained in high-risk vehicle contacts, using verbal commands for the operator or any occupants to obey, but there was no response. After no response to further verbal commands and observation with no movement inside the vehicle, a tactical approach was made. At approximately 5:20, contact was made confirming the operator was the lone occupant and there were no signs of life. It was apparent that the operator, identified as James David Papps, 25 of Middleton, sustained a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Paramedics with Gunderson Tri-State Ambulance responded, but Papps was ultimately pronounced dead at the scene by Vernon County Coroner Betty Nye at 6:15. The victims in the double homicide were David and Teresa Papps. David had a nearly 40-year career with the State Patrol and was the State Patrol Bureau of Transportation Safety Director.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Mariska Hargitay has experienced an almost unprecedented run as an actor on the show Law & Order Special Victims Unit. And now she has a director's credit as well. She is the creative force behind a documentary about her late mother, Jane Mansfield, called My Mom Jane. The Hollywood Reporter is now saying the documentary will be eligible for the Oscars since it's been revealed that it had a short theatrical run at a North Hollywood movie theater last week. My Mom Jane is available to stream on HBO and is getting very good reviews. Sarah Jessica Parker feels she had to defend herself for not endorsing a political candidate publicly. The And Just Like That and Sex and the City star told Nicole Wallace on her podcast she didn't believe social media was the place for quick political conversations. To her credit, Parker says she's not going to go into an argument unless she is totally educated on an issue. Imagine that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Bright and hazy today with mostly sunny skies and wildfire smoke and winds barely moving. High temperatures today will strike the upper 80s. But with the increased humidity, it's going to be feeling more like the low 90s. Stay cool and keep hydrated. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big brutal bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals. He wants the lords. He wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be back from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in the world headquarters of Madison, taking a look at the weekend headlines and looking ahead to our next road trip with Jane Matinere. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
morning and welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And just a reminder as well, make sure you download the Civic Media app. It is absolutely free, and it's great. You can do all kinds of things. You can pick your favorite stations. Civic Media now with like 20 stations across the state. Mm-hmm. Bunch of them are music. If you want to listen to some of our great music stations like WRJN, which is right across the hall from us, download the Civic Media app and pick your station. And then you can also call or text or leave a voice note.
Yes.
Directly to the station, which is pretty cool. So wherever you get your apps, download the Civic Media app, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media, and then get ready to for Free Ticket Fridays, which is going on all summer long. We are playing for four packs of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets.
I need to go to a game.
Well, you're our biggest baseball fan.
I know, and I feel like I'm letting everyone down right now. And
they're on fire.
Since July, if I counted it correctly, they've won 9 of their 12 games this month, and they've swept the Dodgers, and now they swept the Nationals, and they are one game away from first place. They're one game away from tying
the Cubs,
and like I've said before, 2 months ago, it was not the case. It was not what we were talking about. We were talking about a Brewers that was going to be mid at best with a lot of changes, but they have taken a They've working with what they got. They're doing really well.
Yeah, they are.
And they've got a couple all-stars on their team. And by the way, people are baseball players are unhappy about Jacob Mizorowski being
in the
Well,
he's playing in the All-Star game, right?
Yeah, and I understand their contempt because he just started.
He's played four games.
He's been here for like a couple weeks.
Yeah.
But on the other side of that, I just say na 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 boo boo. Ha 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 ha. I'm a professional.
Obviously.
Thank you.
But the Brewers are on a break right now. They're on the All-Star break, and I believe they're back in action on Friday.
This weekend, yeah.
Yep. Okay, so the new Superman is out. This is the segment of the show that has turned into Audio Sorbet, where we talk about things away from the news so we can all have a palate cleanser for our brains and just take a little minute to take a big breath. Mm-hmm. So Superman opened over the weekend, and that got us talking about really popular movies.
Yes.
Blockbusters that everybody's like, oh my God, did you see that thing? And that was my favorite part of the thing. And you are going, I didn't see it.
Movies that when you tell people you haven't seen them, that gets always the same answer.
What
do you mean you haven't seen? Insert movie name here.
Exactly. What is that movie?
Tell
I can't
us.
Believe you haven't seen blank.
Yeah.
At 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. First, I'd like to know what you guys thought about the new Superman movie.
Calvin, I'm going to let you start because you saw it and I saw it last Tuesday. Calvin, I believe you saw it on Thursday, but you go ahead first, Cal.
Failed screenwriter Ben Shapiro did not like it. So if that
it must be a hit then.
Yeah. No, I really, really liked it. I'm not a big superhero movie person in the past, mostly because the only option was really Marvel. But in preparation for this movie, I've read some DC comics and some Superman comics, and it was really good. It lived up to the hype.
Yeah.
Did you think so too?
Oh, absolutely. I have been burned enough times by various movies, whether it's Marvel or many times by DC, that when I went in there, and I went with a friend of mine who is a discerning comic book fan and even more so comic book movie fan, where he doesn't see all of them because usually they let him down, and he wanted to see this. And at the end of the movie, we saw a sneak preview because there was a thing. If you were a Prime member, you get access. It wasn't free or anything like that. There was no red carpet. It was literally, do you have Amazon Prime? You know, like 200 million other people. I could buy tickets to a Tuesday showing. And we did. And we went there and we watched it. And at the end, we clapped. We clapped. It wasn't
the
even
the audience clapped.
The audience clapped. And my friend said, I really like that. And that was a huge compliment from him. And for me, I loved it. I just enjoyed I enjoyed the tone. I enjoyed the banter. I enjoyed the writing.
It was it funny?
Yes, it had fun. It was, Cal, I don't know what you think, but it was funny in all the right spaces. It wasn't overly funny. It wasn't trying to be a comedy, but it had a lighter tone definitely than the other Superman movies that have come out in the past few years, which are always about like dark and gritty and yeah. Cal, Superman is so tortured.
Yeah.
Cal?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen the Superman movies that came earlier. This was my first Superman movie, but yeah, it was genuinely hilarious while at the same time it still had its emotional moments that were never undercut. So yeah, it was really good.
I guess my main question is, does he still fly like this? Does he still fly like
he
that?
He does various.
Various flying?
So what you're thinking of like Christopher Reeve and
yes.
George Reeve.
Yes, and, with arms straight out in front.
If I'm not mistaken, he does various things while he's flying. He's either his arms will be to the side to go, I'm sure, faster.
Okay.
Or like fists out in the air. But yes, he does some variation on that.
That always seemed goofy to me.
You know what?
It's just a bit thin. Whatever.
Whatever. I just feel like anything you can do.
Just when I think about it, if I could fly, I would not do that.
Well, I would hope you wouldn't do that, but okay. Yeah. I mean, well, you don't know. I think you would do it instinctually because we've all been conditioned on generations of, and it's not even Superman. It's whether or not it's Superman or some flying character. They're always
with the arms straight out. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. What movie everybody else has seen and they can't believe you have never seen it? 855-752-4842. What movie has everybody else on the planet seen? And you say, yeah, I can't believe you never saw blank.
What's your movie?
What is your movie? Ben from Richland Center listening on WRCE. Believe it or not, I have never seen Forrest Gump or any of the Back to the Future movies.
I mean, Ben, man, I would like to ask how old you are, because I feel like that doesn't surprise me now if people like under the age of 30 haven't seen Back to the Future. If you see it, you see it. But there are movies that my generation put a high premium on growing up. And so, you know, whether it's Die Hard or the Back to the Future movies, Goonies, there are movies out there that are more they're not The Godfather. They're not The Bicycle right. Thieves. They're right. They're not on the AFI top movies of all time.
Sure.
But there are movies that we grew up watching. So then when we hear that others don't see it, we get immediately shocked or incensed. Sometimes people get a little insulted. I know.
Taking yourselves a little too seriously there, folks.
But I think people under the age of 30, there's so much media out there.
Yeah.
That, and also, if your dad really liked it, you might be like, I'm not watching that movie. Like, I didn't watch West Side Story ever because my mom loves it. And I'm like, that looks dumb. You know what I mean? Like, it was a pushback.
It can turn you up. That's interesting. I personally, Ben, the best of the Back to the Future movies was the first one. I wouldn't bother with any of the other ones.
Second one isn't bad. Third one's a little extraneous, but have you seen it?
I have.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
The first one is great. And I just love the humor, and everything to me was wonderful about it. But I don't think you missed a whole lot by skipping out on the other ones. Tammy from Eau Claire says, I didn't see Don't Look Up. That was on Netflix.
Yeah,
on Netflix.
Yeah, I watched that. I was like, this is massively heavy handed. And I don't know. Like,
did you think so? See, yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I was like, yeah, whatever. I mean, I like Adam McKay as a director. I think he's got great movies. Not Moneyball. The Big Short. He directed The Big Short, and I love that film.
I do too.
But I just, after a while, I'm like, I get it. And it might just be my aversion to some of the people in the movie, but I was like, eh, whatever. I get it.
855-752-4842. People go, you never seen what movie? What is your movie? 855-75-CIVIC. It's Audio Sorbet for today. Caesar from Madison listening on WAUK. Star Wars for me.
Yep. And that's another thing too, is I'm interested, as I'm not sure if it's Caesar or Cesar, but like Cesar and Ben, their ages, because once again, it's that thing of like,
maybe not the, yeah, too young, perhaps.
Yeah.
When they came out.
Well, just no interest in the hype that we, our generation, created around some of these films. So, Jim from Brookfield says, "I have never seen E.T. Oh. I believe I was in the small minority when the movie was running in the theaters. To this day, I've not seen it. I saw the movie in the theaters with my mom and my sister, and I was embarrassed when they were crying because I didn't understand why they were crying. I was too little."
Oh.
I was too little to understand the emotional value of the film. So when they were crying, I remember specifically being like, why are you doing this?
Makes no sense.
This is like, at the time I'm like,
touch your heart, fall home. No.
Yes, I remember. Oh, Cesar is 61. Okay. Yeah. It's an interesting question. It doesn't mean anything. I'm not a scientist. I'm not doing research. John from West Bend, listening to WAUK, is a Top Gun Maverick. I've never seen that one either. And I didn't see Top Gun until maybe 10 years ago.
I hated that movie.
That didn't surprise me.
I did not like that
what
movie.
What movie for you is the one that when you say it, people are like,
I've never seen any of the Batman movies.
That's interesting. Especially, I'm surprised by that for two reasons. One, Batman 89 with Michael Keaton was just such a huge, like, was such a moment. Like, you remember that summer. There wasn't a person who didn't have some sort of bat symbol on them. It was everywhere. But also, being in radio, I'm surprised that there wasn't some sort of
promotion or something.
Promotion saying, here's some tickets, here's someone from the
Not
movie.
Not that I remember.
Yeah.
And I just, because again, I grew up with the TV series.
Yeah.
Which was funny. And mm-hmm. campy, yeah, and silly, and yeah, all of those things. And Batman went so dark.
Yeah.
All of the movies went so dark.
You'd love, honestly, and I'm not being funny when I say this, you would probably love the George Clooney Batman then, because that is more.
Is it more of the feeling
camp,
of
it's
the.
It's more camp and funny. And.
But that's like the least liked of the Batman movies, isn't it?
It's
the one with Clooney?
It's between nowadays, when you talk to Batman fans, it's going to be between Batman Forever and Batman and Robin, because Batman Returns, the second Tim Burton one, was so not just dark in its presentation, but dark in its palette. It's like grays, blues, and blacks, period. That the third one is so colorful, it's over the top. And yeah, so I would say, If you can find it on streaming, watch Batman and Robin and giggle, because it is so campy.
All right.
I'll just say this. He has a Batman credit card.
I just want the old Burgess Meredith penguin going whack, 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 whack. That's what I remember.
I've never seen Jaws.
Really?
Yeah.
Any desire?
No. Well, now, yes, because it's the 50th anniversary. How does that make you feel?
It's still a scary movie.
And that's the other thing.
It
too,
is.
Growing up, I was always told it was a scary movie, and there was
It still
blood
stands
and,
the test of time.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the one that gets me the most like, what? How have you never seen that?
Jaws?
Yeah.
When we return, we're going to wrap things up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the Fossil Envy edition. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the story of the one. As a safety manager at a manufacturing plant, he does everything he can to keep his coworkers safe. From finding ways to reduce risks, to keeping safety supplies in stock. And for that, he relies on Grainger. Grainger offers a broad range of quality products and next-day delivery, so he can always play it safe. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up tomorrow, Nathan Demming is going to be here.
He's back.
He is back. He was on about a month ago, maybe a little over a month ago, when we were still talking about the Wisconsin state budget that was in the process and the potential for some tax film credits.
Yeah.
Which have passed.
Yes, they're going to create a film department.
A film department in Wisconsin, which is great. So Nathan is a filmmaker. He was born in Wisconsin, but he travels now between Wisconsin and Los Angeles, which is where he is based. So Nathan's going to join us tomorrow in hour number two to talk about what this will mean for movie making in Wisconsin, which I can only think is going to be good.
Yes. Yes. Ask Georgia. The state of Georgia.
Yeah, ask Georgia. No kidding. They pulled in a whole bunch of stuff down there. And then, too, we are going on the road on Wednesday. Matt and Aaron here in the Todd Albaugh Show, hitting our We Love Wisconsin tour once again. Greg's coming along this time. We're going to broadcast Wednesday from Oshkosh, on Thursday from Park Falls, and then, on Butternut.
There it is.
Sorry. I apologize.
I'm so sorry, Butternut.
Butternut, my baby. And then on Friday in Hayward, if you have any suggestions on things you would think we should see or great restaurants or cheese shops or whatever, like Mike's been sending in some great tips that we're going to check out when we're up there, just let us know. You can always contact us at janesays@civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, at civicmedia.us. Galvin 1054, that means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
As always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it into the aforementioned email at janesays@civicmedia.us. This from Sarah Kuda from the Smithsonian Magazine.
This is the fanciest.
We're going highbrow now with Tisbets.
This shan't be a thing.
This shan't be. Headline reads, bear-sized giant beavers once roamed North America, and they're now the official state fossil of Minnesota. Large extinct creatures roamed the Twin Cities area more than 10,000 years ago and could grow to more than 200 pounds.
That's fine. I mean, they could have their bear beavers if they'd like.
Giant beaver.
Giant beavers of bear beaver beaverness.
Giant bear beavers.
Wisconsin, man, but we got it covered. We're fine. We got a great fossil. Jane, what's our fossil? Like a giant dog?
A pterodactyl or something?
Yeah.
Kevin, what is Wisconsin's famous fossil?
So Wisconsin's state fossil is the trilobite. And I was hating a little bit earlier. I'll defend them a little bit. They are extremely old.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I'll criticize it was they are also one of the most widespread fossils in the entire world. You can find trilobite fossils all over the world. So I think that's kind of lame that Wisconsin picked that.
So not only does everybody have trilobites.
Yeah. And what a trilobite is it's an ancestor of bugs and lobsters. It's basically like a small shelled creature.
So it's kind of a crustacean thing?
Yeah. And what makes it hurt worse is the other option that we could have had is the mastodon.
What?
I know. Basically a woolly mammoth.
We took a trilobite over a mastodon?
Why do you keep calling it a trilobite?
Because I don't know.
Do you just want to be special and different?
It's what I was taught.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird. I was always told trilobite. We picked a trilobite over.
We could have had a, and we could have had a mastodon.
We could have had a mastodon.
And then said, take that, Minnesota, and your giant bear-sized beaver.
Exactly. It's all about the
fossil.
I mean, face, your face. What a just a waste and a disappointment. No offense to the trilobites, but like.
But again, it's like if as Calvin said, they're everywhere.
Exactly.
So it's already pretty common. Not that it wasn't important to evolution and all of those things. It just doesn't have that oomph.
So folks, remember, it's important you vote because my
look
vote
at the ramifications of voting that we don't even consider.
Flags and
we could have had
fossils.
The mastodon, but no.
Yeah, I am very sad that we didn't pick the maybe we can change it. I mean, no offense to the trilobite. We can how about this? Wisconsin's official small fossil is the trilobite. Wisconsin's
large
real fossil is the mastodon.
I think, Calvin, we may have to do some more research into this and figure out exactly whose decision it was to land on the little one instead of the mastodon. Well done, Minnesota. You got us again. That's why it's the Fossil Envy Edition. That wraps up today's episode of...
This shouldn't be a thing.
Again, coming up tomorrow, Nathan Demming will be here. We're going to talk all things movies in Wisconsin and what this new rule is going to mean. It's very exciting. I think it's a great thing. It should be good for all of us.
Yeah.
We have Tom Hartman coming up next from 11 to 2. And then our travel partner, Todd Alba, coming up from 2 to 4. Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. And join Pete Schwabba as well for Nightlight from 6 to 8 p.m. It's a great way to unwind at the end of the day. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we will see you tomorrow.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump now threatening to punish Russia with tariffs if there is no deal to end the war in 90 days. The president meeting with NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte about more weapons shipments to Ukraine. ABC's Karen Travers is at the White House with more.
Yesterday he said, I'm very disappointed with President Putin. He said he's somebody that talks so beautifully and then he'll bomb people at night. We don't like it. We've heard the president ramp up his rhetoric and his frustration against Putin, talking about how frustrated he is that Putin may be standing in the way of a peace deal. He's dangled the idea of more sanctions.
And now the idea of more tariffs. Nine people were killed in a fire at an assisted living facility in Fall River, Massachusetts overnight. Many of the 30 or so who were hospitalized had to be carried down ladders by firefighters because they were immobile. Wildfire at the Grand Canyon's North Rim growing rapidly over the weekend. It destroyed the Grand Canyon Lodge. This is ABC News.